The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, established that community of believers who were established on their faith and displayed strong belief. They were established on that belief that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was Allah's final and perfect prophet, was the last prophet from Allah who brought that final and perfect teaching. This was their perfect belief. And it is this teaching by implementing which, and only by implementing which, you can attain and acquire the pleasure of Allah. So thus, those early companions who had this belief and faith that the Holy Prophet was Allah's prophet, when we see their faith, then we see their every moment of their life, and their every action, and their every tranquility, it was always in the attaining of the pleasure of Allah. And that action that is done only for the sake of attaining Allah's pleasure, that action alone can be called a pure action. So these verses that I have recited, in them the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, from his power, from Allah, we see that those who inculcate a revolution within themselves, they have been mentioned in this verse. Those people who left all those ancient idols of theirs that they used to worship, and they instead became so strengthened in their faith that they proved and established this, that in terms of faith, in terms of strengthening the faith, and in terms of amal-e-saliha, that is performing pious deeds, they were ready to perform every kind of sacrifice to attain this. If they did it secretly, or if quietly, they forbade every kind of difficulty, then they would do it. This is what their claim was, because when at a time when they were not allowed to retaliate to those difficulties and that harshness and that oppression, then the demand of the faith at that time was that quietly they should bear all of these difficulties and they should forbear and endure all these cruelties. So at that time when they were not allowed to retaliate, it was the teaching at that time that do not retaliate to harshness with harshness. When they received that commandment that leave your country and migrate, then the amal-e-saliha, the pious deed at that time, was that without any complaint at all, they left their nation. That was the pious action at that time. When they were given the instruction to fight against the disbelievers, then the amal-e-saliha, the pious action at that time, was that without any fear, without any concern, they should retaliate against the opponents. Do not look at this. Do not look at whether we have weapons or not. Do not look at the power of the enemies. Do not look at the comparisons between our power and the power of the enemies. So in short, after believing, any action that you perform or any pious deed that you carry out, when it is done purely for the sake of attaining and acquiring Allah's pleasure, and when you understand that your life is a trust of Allah, and the right of this, the companions of the Holy Prophet fulfilled it. They understood this. So regarding this, Allah says that to these people, I will certainly enter these people into heaven and into paradise. And in heaven as well, I will give them such rewards and such things, underneath which you will see streams of rivers flowing, and heavens upon heavens, and paradise upon paradise will be provided to them. And this will be the glad tiding of a perpetual life that will be provided to such people. And Allah Almighty says that this is the great reward, and this is the best reward that we give to those people who have perfect belief, and who for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah perform every action. We give this reward to such people. And those people who in an excellent way and who perpetually receive these rewards of paradise, these are those people, that is those who attain these paradises, they are those people who with great forbearance and great patience have sacrificed and they fulfill their trusts. And these people, they trusted in their Lord absolutely perfectly, and they trusted in their Lord with this belief that if we show these scenes of patience and we take care of our trusts, and if every one of our actions, we do it purely for acquiring Allah's pleasure, and we carry out all that we do for this, then Allah, who promises and who fulfills His promises, He will surely reward us. This is the thinking of such people. So therefore, this strengthening of the faith and this amale saliha, those people who perform pious actions, to draw attention towards this, as I have already said, those companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, through his upbringing and through his moral training, it came into them, it was inculcated and infused within them. Today, with reference to patience and forbearance, I will present certain traditions of the Holy Prophet from which you can see that the believers, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, how he taught them to forbear and be patient, the manner in which he taught them. And then the companions who was increasing in the faith on a daily basis or progressing and advancing all the time. Regarding them, how for the sake of acquiring Allah's pleasure, how with great patience and steadfastness they established the pinnacle levels of sacrifice. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in terms of patience, he showed patience even in the everyday life, and even when he was fighting his enemies, he showed this in all circumstances. He provided these patience in all circumstances, and he advised us and he guided us at in what situation what we should do. Today, first of all, the hadith, that is the tradition of the Holy Prophet that I will mention, it does not relate to the enemies or the opponents, but in fact it relates to the household life and relates to household matters, that how in your house, your life, how you should live it and how you should live with one another, how the husband and wife should live amongst another. I often receive letters from wives, and sometimes I meet with them during the mulaqats, and sometimes these women complain to me and they say that we have daughters, for example, and we do not have any sons, and because of this reason the husband and my in-laws, they keep on teasing us and they keep on troubling me because of this reason of not having a son. And we see this in the household life as well, that the daughters often write to me as well. They sometimes write this, that our fathers, because I am a daughter, do not have a pious relationship with me, or do not deal with me in a pious manner. And they say that our lives are passed through with great difficulty. Regarding this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, there is a narration of his. And this narration, which I would like to put in front and put in view of everyone, because there are many people who perform Jamaat works, who have knowledge of religion, but despite this, they do not have a good atmosphere in their homes. After listening to this hadith, I believe that no human being, no person who even has a little bit, an inkling of faith within him, no person after listening to this tradition for their daughters or for their wives can ever tease them or trouble them in any way. Hadrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, says that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that who through his daughters is put through trouble, and who remains steadfast after putting through difficulties because of their daughters, then their daughters will be a mediator between them and the hellfire, or stop them from entering the hellfire. Who in this world, who does not perform small mistakes, who does not sin, who in the world, who does not want to come under the protection of Allah? Surely this is the desire of every person. So this is the glad tidings for those who have daughters, that because of their daughters, a believer can come under the protection of Allah through the means of having daughters. Sometimes troubles arise, and to resolve these problems and to resolve these situations, in this society we see there are many such problems in relation to daughters. To bear these difficulties, this entails that what you should never do, that you should ever express that this is because of the daughters, or this should never be a means of targeting the wives. This is the sign of a believer, to never target your wives or to say your daughters are a means of difficulty, because Allah has said the daughters are a means of becoming a stoppage of you going into the hellfire. Then there is another tradition, and there is a counsel for those people who on very trivial matters start getting angry and start getting very upset. And for this reason, in that society, they do not like to meet with people, they do not like to mingle. Yahya bin Wasab, relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he was a companion of the Holy Prophet, and he narrates in this tradition that the Holy Prophet said that that Muslim who keeps on mingling and meeting with people and with patience forbears all their difficulties, that is those other people's difficulties, he is better than that person who does not meet anyone and does not actually remain patient on hearing other people's difficulties. So Hazur says, a person with good morals and with patience, it is possible that if you display these things, other people will be influenced by you. That is, when you go in the society and you display patience and you display good morals, other people may be influenced and they may try to reform themselves when they see your example. And when you mingle with other people, then this will also be a means of reforming one another. Then because of having patience within yourself, then the expansion of endurance within you, that also leads you towards further piety, and that becomes a means of performing further good actions. And not only this, but in fact also this, that there is another counsel and advice within this, that patience, every person should inculcate it within themselves on small and trivial matters, in small quarrels or minor arguments that are carried out between people. You should try to safeguard yourselves from these trivial quarrels that occur between one another. By mentioning the expansion of endurance or enduring even further, the Holy Prophet has said, relating to this, and this is narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that that person is not powerful who tries to overcome other people. The true powerful person who is in the time of anger controls his anger. This is the truly powerful person. So therefore, according to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, a powerful person is that one who overcomes his anger and overcomes his being upset. And this is the Amale Saliha. This is the pious action that makes a person come near to Allah the Almighty. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his own perfect model and his own perfect example, what was that? How did he display it? Regarding it, Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, says that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, from his hand or using his hand, never hurt or harmed or hurt anyone, neither a woman, neither his servant. Except in the time of jihad did he ever hurt anyone. Whenever anybody hurt him or caused him anguish, even then the Holy Prophet never retaliated against such a person. Yes, it is true that when something in contrary to the teachings of Allah or something against the honor of Allah, it is then for the sake of Allah that he took retaliation. So Hazur says, this is that perfect model and that perfect example that displays patience and explains the true manner of patience. In another hadith, a tradition, Abu Qabsha Al-Mari narrates that I heard the Holy Prophet saying that regarding three things I would like to advise you, and I would like to tell you something, and remember this and remember it carefully. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that somebody's money is not less than sadaqah, and that person who has perpetrated cruelties against and who remains patient despite this, then Allah increases his honor and his sanctity. And that person who opens the doors for other people, Allah opens the means of pride for such people. So Hazur says, I would like to say something with regards to patience here, that you should always remember this, that when cruelties are perpetrated, then for the sake of attaining the Allah's pleasure, if you remain patient, this is such an accepted deed in the eyes of Allah that the honor of such people is bestowed by Allah himself for those people who remain patient in this face of cruelties. In our everyday lives, if people understand this, then a peaceful society will be established. If only people ponder and reflect and adopt this. Then we see in another narration that Umar bin Saad narrates from his father that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that I am surprised upon Muslims for this reason, that when they hear any good news, Then he says the praise of Allah, and when he hears or is in any anguish, then he expects some kind of reward, and he expresses patience and displays patience. A Muslim attains rewards in every kind of action of his. Then we see, this is similarly narrated in another narration, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that it is strange, that is, the actions of a believer are strange, because every single one of his actions are worthy of being rewarded. When he is happy, or when he is in a good mood, or something happy comes upon him, then he thanks Allah and he's grateful of Allah, and that gratitude becomes a means of even further reward. And if he faces any grief or any anguish or any harm or trouble, then he shows patience. And because of this patience, this also becomes a means of reward. Because by remaining patient, he attains blessings. So in every mood, whether happy or sad, the believer attains blessings. Then it comes in another narration that Hadrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that any Muslim who faces any trouble, any difficulty, any grief, or any anguish, or any worry, he does not face any of these, even if a thorn faces him, he does not face any of these, that Allah makes that a means of his salvation when he bears through it with patience. If he bears through all of these things with patience, Allah makes this a means of his salvation. Then there is a long narration, and in this lengthy narration, Allah's, who he is pleased with and who he is not pleased with, is mentioned therein. Mutarif bin Abdullah narrates in this tradition. The narrator says, Hadrat Abu Zar, it is a narration of his that I am mentioning, and I desired that I should meet this person. And when I met this person, then I said to him that, O Muzar, a narration of yours has reached me, and I desire that I should meet you, and I find out more about this narration that you have narrated. Hadrat Abu Zar, may Allah be pleased with him, said that now you have met me, so ask your question. And I said to him that what I have heard from this narration is that you say that you have heard the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, say that three people are such who Allah the Almighty is pleased with and who Allah likes, and there are three people who Allah the Almighty does not like and is displeased with. Hadrat Abu Zar said that yes, this is correct. And I cannot even imagine that my master, the Holy Prophet, I could ever lie or attribute something false about him. And he said this three times, that I could never attribute anything false to the Holy Prophet. So this person said, I asked him that who are these three people who Allah is pleased with and who Allah likes. And he said, that person who in the way of Allah goes out for war. And at being a mujahid, a person who performs jihad, goes to fight war. And his reward, he leaves with Allah. And he leaves his reward with Allah, and he fights with the enemy until the extent that he is martyred. And he says, and you find in the book of Allah that Allah is pleased with you, he who fights in his way. And that person whose neighbor, who troubles him, and yet he remains patient on his trouble, and he refrains himself to that extent that even a life of difficulty becomes sufficient for him. Then there is another person who is traveling for his nation, who remains, even at the end of the night, he wakes up and he prays, and he performs the ablution, and he stands up to observe the prayer. I asked him, who are those three people who Allah is displeased with and he does not like? And he said, these three people who Allah is displeased with is that person who is overly arrogant and overly proud. And you find in the book of Allah that Allah, surely that every person who is arrogant and proud, surely Allah is not that one who is pleased with such people who is arrogant. Then also that person who pledges excessive for his trade, and that person who wants retribution or reward for what he has done, who wants something back. So Hazur says, amongst the people Allah is pleased with is that person who is patient. It is mentioned amongst this narration that Allah is pleased and likes such people who show patience. Hadrat Ali has mentioned in one place that in faith, patience is such a thing. Just as the body is connected to the head, if you do not have patience, then you have no belief. A believer is always advised and counseled how he should pass through difficulties and anguishes, how he should express his emotions when going through these things, and how he should perform or adopt a certain attitude. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has told us and established this model of how one should go through such things, how a person should pray. Regarding this, it is mentioned in a narration that Umm Salma, may Allah be pleased with her, she narrates in this tradition that I heard the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, say this, and he said this, that person who faces some kind of grief or faces some kind of difficulty, and facing these difficulties, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma jirni bi musibati wa akhluf li khairan minha. And this prayer continues that we are Allah's alone, and to Him we shall surely return. And O my Lord, give me reward when facing this difficulty, and after this, give me something even better than this. Then surely Allah for this will reward such a person, and after this will give him something even better than before. And these griefs and these difficulties, they are found in your personal lives and also in the life of the Jamaat. They are found on a national level as well. They are found at every level, but the principle always remains the same. And the principle is this, that you always submit and prostrate before Allah, and you forbear all of these difficulties. You display forbearance and steadfastness and come under His protection and ask for His reward. Allah the Almighty also in the Holy Quran, regarding facing tribulations and tribulations, Allah has said about such people who pass through these things. And He says this same thing. Allah says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مَصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Those people who whenever they face any difficulty do not get worried. In fact, they say, we are Allah's alone, and to Him surely we will return to Him. These are those people who from their Lord will receive all sorts of blessings and rewards, and they also receive the mercy, and it is these people who are truly guided. This is the verse in the Holy Quran. So therefore, this is a commandment of the Holy Quran. Now, in the view of Allah, I will also present such examples of those people who are rightly guided, those who attained the nearness to the Holy Prophet, and were those who received his beneficence, and they were those who received benefit from his upbringing, and they displayed examples of sacrifice and patience and steadfastness. One incident is narrated by Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. And she says, when the Muslims were put under difficulties, at that time Abu Bakr, he went towards Habsha. He went with this intention that he should go there. When he reached a certain place, then he found one of the chiefs of the tribes, Ibn Davina. He met him and said, Oh Abu Bakr, where are you intending to go? In reply, Abu Bakr said, that my nation has exiled me, so therefore I have come with this intention that I should go anywhere in the land of God, and I should be free and pray to Allah, so that I can pray to Allah. So this tribal chief said that such a person should never leave Makkah, and neither should anybody exile you. You are such a person who performs pious actions. You are that person who has good relations with your blood relations, and you take every kind of difficulty. You are a hospitable person. You take care of the needs of those in need. So therefore, I take you in my protection. Please go back to your town and go and pray to your Lord in your own abode. Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, he then returned after this. And this tribal chief, he also traveled with him, the Quraysh, at night. They went to them, and the tribal chief said that Abu Bakr, the people like him never leave. Neither should you have exiled people like Hazrat Abu Bakr, is what he said. How can you make such a person be exiled who performs such good deeds? And the Quraysh did not reject that protection offered by that tribal chief. And they said that Abu Bakr, say to Abu Bakr that he should go and pray to his Lord in his house, and he should pray in his own house, and he should say whatever he wants in his own house. but he should not cause us any harm, and neither should he say anything in a loud voice, because we fear that perhaps our women and our children may be affected by this, and it may cause disorder because of this." So this is what the Quraysh said. So the tribal chief said this to Abu Bakr. So then he went to his home and he started praying to his Lord. And at the time of prayer, he did not say anything in a loud voice. And apart from his house, he never read the Holy Quran in any other place. Then something came in his mind, and he pondered on something. And in the courtyard of his home, he established a kind of mosque. And he used to pray there, and he used to recite the Holy Quran in that place. At that time, the disbelievers, they used to peer and look and glance and see what is Abu Bakr doing. And they became greatly affected by this, and they became influenced by seeing Abu Bakr when they would peek at what he was doing. Abu Bakr would cry profusely, and at the time of reciting the Holy Quran, he could not control the tears flowing down his cheeks. His tears used to flow all the way down his face. The Quraysh became very worried by this, and they sent a message. They sent a messenger to the tribal chief. And when he came, that messenger, he said, "We let Abu Bakr remain under your protection only on this condition, that he would only pray in his own home. But he has extended beyond this, and in the courtyard of his own home, he has established a mosque. And in a loud voice, he is reciting the prayer, and he is reciting the Holy Quran in a lofty voice. And we are getting worried, and we are fearful that perhaps he will affect our women and our children." So therefore, they said to this tribal chief, "Is he rejecting your protection? Because we do not like this, and we are not pleased with this, that we have not broken our pledge. We do not give permission to Abu Bakr to pray in this matter." This is a narration by Adat Aisha, who says that that tribal chief went to Abu Bakr and said that, "I made a pledge with you and took an oath with you. Remain established on it or leave that protection from me, because it is not in me that the Arab people hear this, that a person who I have given the protection has broken his pledge, a person who I have made an oath with." So Abu Bakr, upon hearing this, said that, "I give back your trust, and I prefer the trust of Allah even better than this." The Quraysh heard this, and they gave every kind of difficulty to the Abu Bakr, but like a strong concrete object, he remained steadfast on his faith. It is said that Abu Bakr was hurt and abused and harmed, and he was hit. People grabbed his beard and they hurt him in every manner, and they grabbed his beard so hard that the hair would fall out of it. But despite all these cruelties, he remained steadfast and he remained patient. This was similarly the condition that is in Pakistan, that they say, "You people should not observe prayer. They, to our people who are weak, they try to trouble them. And they say, do not observe prayer. You are trying to display yourself as Muslims, and this is why we have passed this law." In fact, yesterday, in two places, this news has come, and this was also published in the newspapers, that the non-Ahmadi Maulvis have provided this report to the police, that Ahmadis, on the day of the Eid, they perform sacrifices, and we should not allow them to perform these sacrifices, because our emotions are hurt that they are performing these sacrifices on the day of Eid. So after this, the police, and this is the state of the police, they called the Ahmadis, and they gave the Ahmadis a warning that these sacrifices that you perform on Eid, do it within the four walls. Do not show it outside these four walls of your homes, because you do not have a right to perform these sacrifices, and you are hurting these Muslims. You have no right to hurt the sentiments of Muslims by offering sacrifices on Eid. We find in another tradition, and Hazur says, it was found out that Ahmadis actually performed these sacrifices in their homes. Apart from calling other people, they did never even tell other people that they are performing these sacrifices, but nevertheless, these people want to spread trouble, and they try to spread this trouble. They find any excuse to spread this kind of trouble. We find in another tradition that Hadrat Umm Shariq, may Allah be pleased with her, when she accepted Islam, then the woman of Quraysh, she started secretly preaching to them. So Hazur says, this is also an amazing example of patience and forbearance of a woman. So the narration continues that when the Quraysh found out about this, "We will take you to your tribe," they said. Then Hadrat Umm Shariq, they put her on a camel, and for 3 days they did not give me any water. And she said, and neither did they give me any food for 3 days running. And her condition was such that she could not remain in her senses. Then the people were sitting in a shade, the other people that is. And to her, they put her and tied her in the sunshine. Hazrat Umar Shariq said that in this condition, I saw a bowl of water and I drank some water from it. And then whenever I drank it, they moved it away. And when I drank it again, then it went further away from me again. And this kept on happening, this sequence, to the extent that I was reassured. I gained enough water to come back into my senses. She threw the remaining amount of water on her body and her clothes. When those people got up, they woke up and they saw her and her conditions. They said, you untied your ropes and took water from me. Hazrat Umar Shariq said, no, I promised by Allah that I did not take your water. Then she told them the whole incident. When they heard this, they said, if this is true, if this is correct as you are telling us, then your faith is true. Then they saw the water on her body, and they saw the water in their own plate, and they saw that amount of water was remaining, and it was true. And on this, they accepted Islam. So Huzur says, this is an amazing incident, that as a reward of that patience, it was given immediately, 3 days of remaining without water and hunger, in that love from Allah. He immediately showed the reward and the response of that. And he removed all these difficulties, and he provided the means himself to this woman. Then we find in another tradition that Hazrat Abu Fakir, he was a slave or a servant of a certain tribe, and when he accepted Islam, people used to cause him all sorts of difficulties, so he should remove from Islam. But he did not ever leave Islam. In the extreme heat at the time of the afternoon, they took off his clothes, and they used to make him stand up there in the burning sand. Then they took a scorching stone and put it on his chest, and he used to go out of his senses because of this. But despite all of this, it did not affect his forbearance or his patience in any way, shape or form. Hazrat Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, his incident is also there. Umayyah bin Khalf, he was a Habshi slave. He used to take Hazrat Bilal in the scorching hot sun and put big stones on the chest. And he said to Bilal, worship this idol. And they said, if you do not worship this idol, we will punish you. Hazrat Bilal, who was being perpetrated his cruelties on, he used to keep on saying, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one. And at one time, Hazrat Abu Bakr saw this happening to Hazrat Bilal. He gave a servant to Umayyah bin Khalf, and in return, in this manner, he was able to free Hazrat Bilal. So Bilal faced all these cruelties of these stones being put upon him. Then we see another example. We see Hazrat Khabab's incident at the time of Hazrat Umar, who was the second Khalifa. Once Hazrat Khabab was in his gathering, and he called this Hazrat Khabab, that is Hazrat Umar, and he made him sit in a special place and said, Khabab, are you worthy that you sit here amongst me? I have not seen that anybody apart from you has the right to sit here. Apart from Bilal, nobody has a greater right to sit here. He said, O leader of the faithful, perhaps Bilal is also worthy of this, but Bilal, there were people to save him from the disbelievers, but there was nobody to save me, from those cruel people. There was also a day when the disbelievers caught me and grabbed me, and they set me alight, and they put me in the fire. And then, he took off his clothes at that time. He took off his clothes and showed Hazrat Umar. And he saw that on his chest and all over his body, there were all sorts of burning marks all over his body from that incident before. Hazrat Khubab, he used to make swords. He was a blacksmith. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, used to go to this blacksmith who made swords to reassure him and to give him tranquility. Umm Almar, he found out about this, and he brought a scorching metal and put it on his head, because he found out that he was a blacksmith who produced swords. Somebody mentioned this to the Holy Prophet, that this was occurring, and he prayed, that oh Allah, help Khabbab. As a result of this, that person incurred some kind of problem in his brain. So that person who had been teasing that blacksmith, he started barking like a dog because of that illness incurred in his brain. And they said that if you want to cure this, you have to put a burning hot metal on his head. Hazrat Khabbab said that I used to have to put a burning hot metal on his head. So that person who was an opponent, he started barking like a dog because he was cursed. Another incident is when Hazrat Usman saw the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When he saw the companions of the Holy Prophet in all sorts of difficulties and all sorts of anguishes and griefs, when Walid bin Mughira, who another person who was under the protection of this Walid, who saw this companion in so much anguish, I can never, he said, remain under the protection of this disbelievers, that is Walid. So Hazrat Usman said this, because my brothers are facing all sorts of difficulties, so why am I under the protection of Walid, who is a disbeliever? So he went to Walid and so said, oh Abu Abdul Shams, your protection on me is finished. I return your protection. That Walid said, why have you done this? Has anybody in my nation hurt you? He said, no, but I prefer the protection of Allah. And apart from this, I do not want to come under any protection. So Walid said, come with me to the mosque and come to the Kaaba. And just like I announced that I have given your protection, so therefore you should go there and announce that you no longer want to come under my protection. Hazrat Usman says that we reached the mosque and Walid said that this is Usman and he has come to return my trust. Hazrat Usman, who is that person who wanted to relieve that protection, he said, this is true, I have returned it. Apart from Allah, I do not want to come under anyone's protection. So this is why I have returned this protection. And that Hazrat Usman then left. Labid bin Rabia, at one time he was reciting a poem to the Arabs. Hazrat Usman was also amongst those poets and those Arabs. When Labid said this, he said this verse in Arabic in that gathering of the Arabs with those poets, that apart from Allah, everything else is false. Hazrat Usman said that you are right when you said this. Then Labid said, he continued his verse of poetry and said, every blessing is about to finish. At this, Hazrat Usman said, this is false, you are lying, this is not right. The paradise is a war that will never end. Labid said, oh people of the Quraysh, none of you have ever given me any difficulty. When have you started to do this? Then one of them said, that this person is an idiot, he is a foolish person, he has removed from our faith, he has gone away from our belief. So therefore do not be hurt by what he said, he is only a silly person. Hazrat Usman replied to this at that time when he said this. And when he replied, the situation heightened and a person stood up and he smite him and he punched him in his face, and because of this one of his eyes of Hazrat Usman came out. Walid was watching all of this and he said, oh my brother of my son, if you were amongst us, your eye which has been removed, that would have remained intact. Hazrat Usman, may Allah be pleased with him, he heard that by the promise of Allah, this is my desire, whatever has happened to other people, this is what I wanted. And oh, I am surely amongst the protection of Allah, who is greater than you, who has more honor than you, so I do not care if my eye came out of your protection. Walid said that, oh son of my brother, you can come back into my protection. But Hazrat Usman rejected it. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, regarding the love and the patience and the forbearance, the companions showed great scenes of these. At one occasion there was a famine and there was a boycott upon the Muslims. At that time, one person, Hazrat Zaid, was there. Safwan bin Umayyah had bought him as a slave so that he could kill him. When Hazrat Zaid, in order to kill him, an instruction was given, Hazrat Abu Sufyan said, oh Zaid, I swear by Allah, would you not have preferred that in place of you should be Muhammad and he should be killed instead, and you should return to your home? Hazrat Zaid replied to this, that I swear by Allah, I would not even like this, that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the place where he is now, that even a thorn should come upon him, and that I should be in home instead. Hazrat Abu Sufyan said that just as the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be on him, love him, I have never seen any love greater than that of his followers have for him. Then there were the mothers of that time. How did they instruct their children to show steadfastness and patience? It is mentioned in one narration that Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair, the day he was martyred, on that day he went to his mother, and his mother said to Hazrat Zubair before he was martyred that, "O my son, do not ever remain fearful of death, and do not take any condition when you die that will disgrace you. Die in the face of the sword is better than if you die in disgrace, being hit by stones or being whipped." In this tradition, as I have said, the honor of the mother, the sanctity and the faith of the mother can also be clearly seen. Such mothers who instructed their children that never show weakness in your faith. These were amazing examples of sacrifice and patience that we see in the history of Islam from women and from men. We see this in youngsters and elders. We see this throughout the history of Islam. By presenting these examples, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said in one place regarding these amazing examples in history that our Prophet, peace be upon him, in his time and in his era, by remaining steadfast himself, he never raised a sword. But until a certain time, he faced every kind of cruelty from the disbelievers, and he remained patient to such an extent that not every person could remain patient. And his companions, similarly, with this great principle, they remain attached to it. And as they were instructed, that face every kind of patience, take every kind of difficulty. In this way, they showed every steadfastness. They were oppressed in every way. Their children in front of them were smashed into smithereens. Through fire and water they were punished, but in reply to this evil they refrained from it. They did not care about it. Who can prove that from all the prophets, from all the people of all the prophets, can any of them, hearing the command of Allah, ever shown such examples or shown such steadfastness like those people of the time of the Holy Prophet? Who has any proof of this? Anybody else or any group in the world, is there any other group that apart from their bravery and apart from their courageousness and apart from their power and apart from all their means and apart from everything they have, that in the enemy for 13 years they could face all these difficulties? Is there any such group? You could not find any such group. Our Master Prophet, the Holy Prophet, was not out of any obligation that these faced these difficulties, but even during that time of these difficulties, the companions, they were those same companions who afterwards fought jihad. And 1,000 people, 1,000 Muslims, 1,000 believers, they defeated an army of 100,000 disbelievers. This happened so that people could be told that those enemies in Makkah and those people who were patient against those cruelties, against faced the cruelties, those enemies, they were not patient because of any weakness or cowardice. They were patient because of the command of Allah. In fact, they were ready to sacrifice themselves like goats. Allah wanted to show them that these were two phases, one of being patient and later of performing jihad. And if you read the whole history of mankind, you will not find any such people or any group among any prophet. You will not find any such level of moral standards amongst any of them. And if you even hear of any such stories from the previous people, then you hear this, that people believe that as a result of this steadfastness, this is caused by cowardice, but when in fact it is a high level of steadfastness. But this, that there is one group who keep this honor and keep this bravery amongst them and who overcome all sorts of difficulties, apart from all of this, despite wanting to fight back, they remain patient, and the children are hurt and their families are wounded, and despite having a desire to fight, they do not fight back. This is the true moral standard, and this is those people who for 13 years the Holy Prophet and his companions performed all of this. This kind of steadfastness was such that they faced every kind of anguish, every kind of oppression, every kind of cruelty for 13 long years. This is unprecedented. You will never find any such example of this. If anybody has any doubt about it, then look amongst history, look amongst all those people before it, show any kind of people who performed such patience and provided such examples. Then the promised Messiah says that you must always remember this here, that cruelty that was perpetrated against the companions, such cruelties, our Prophet, our Master Prophet, the Holy Prophet, he, with his will, he did not leave anything away from remaining patient. In fact, he always said this, that all these difficulties remain patient and remain steadfastness. And if anybody tried to express retaliation, he stopped them and said that we have been instructed to remain patient. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, always instructed to remain steadfast and patient only until the commandment came from Allah. Now find, since time immemorial, find it since the beginning of time, that have you ever seen any such examples of patience? Look at the time of the people of Moses or the companions of Jesus. You will never find any such examples. Try to find it. Hazur says, may Allah, us as well, always enable us to display scenes of sacrifice and steadfastness, particularly in those places, in those countries, in Pakistan, and also in other places where Ahmadis are facing extremely harsh conditions, where their everyday life is faced in difficulty. May Allah enable them to display steadfastness and patience. And those enemies who are performing these cruelties and oppression, may Allah, showing His special power, bring them under the wrath. Our every action is for the sake of Allah, and may our every action always be to acquire the pleasure of Allah and to receive His blessings and beneficence.